Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Chose Brandon because of the thing that goes around on certain websites. Is this why you came to Brandon, because of the trolling of the Biden administration?
So I think that Brandon, Florida is a great American city. I think the people there are fantastic. And I can tell you.
The Sunshine City Radio CP.com.
Radio CP.com presents the homemade broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. Messages for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the homemade broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3... 2, 1.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged, all laced and bugged, all twisted around the beat. Uncomfortable, 3 feet deep. Now the fuzz is there from not being there on a confusing morning week. Impair my tribal lunar speak.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Make sure you subscribe on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, it should be there. HMB Radio, all one word. Hey, Anna, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Welcome back. I got a text message today, and it's from, I didn't even have the number. I got a new phone recently, and the good thing about that was that while your iPhone does, like, cloud some of your contacts, I guess my cloud service ran out or something, and I lost a bunch of contacts. And it was such a sense of relief,
yeah.
Not knowing who these people were. And I went through, I like to do that every now and again, where I just go through and delete people that I'm like, I don't need to talk to you ever again.
It's like spring cleaning.
Yeah.
Your closet.
Yes.
Your social closet.
Going through your social media, same thing, getting rid of people that you don't interact with. And, you know, maybe you went on a Tinder date with like twice and then you're still following them.
The bathroom in college.
Yeah. It's like, I don't need you to be around anymore. You're good. You're set. So I was kind of relieved, and I got this this text from a number, and I go, oh, I wonder who this is. I always like to find out what's, ooh, it's new. It's like a gift. Who is this?
Our lives are that sad and that pathetic.
And it was from this person that I have I'm friendly with. He's actually been on the podcast a few times, a long time ago. Liked the guy. I always got along with him well. But it was for his GoFundMe page.
Oh.
And I go, what the F is this? So I click on the page, and I don't know. To me, it reads like a scam.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know what percentage of GoFundMes are scams, but I'm going to say a good amount. Half? Maybe?
How is it a scam? Are you saying the money is not going to the charity or the cause it says it is? Or
yeah, I think it's just people who want money. And they need money for whatever reason, and they make up a sob story in order to get the said money.
I don't know if that's even... I mean, I guess it is a scam, but you're volunteering your money.
Yeah, but people are... A lot of people are kind, but a lot of people are also stupid.
Yeah.
So a fool and their money are easily parted, as that old saying goes. And, you know, I can't prove this or anything. It just seems suspect. So I'm looking at this... I click on the page, and he begins by saying that how good of a person he is, that he does a lot for, you know, people. And he wanted to get his kids a arcade machine for whatever reason.
For Christmas? Or?
I don't know. He just wanted to, it didn't say for a particular reason. It just said it just wanted to bring joy to these children's faces. So he went ahead and did that. He paid $5,000 of his own money for this machine. And I guess the vibe that I got was that the person he bought it from or contracted it from didn't give him the machine. And then he went, okay, well, I need my money back. And then the guy said, no, I'm not giving you your money back. Essentially saying that he was thieved out of $5,000. I think a normal person's reaction to that would be, I need to call the cops, number one. If you're not comfortable with that, you know, police, a lot of people don't believe in police anymore. I would think number two, at least, would be get a letter from an attorney. Maybe you can get an attorney to draft a letter for $100 or something. Strong worded email, something. And I think the third step would be, all right, then I'll get it myself. I'll come kill you.
Yeah.
It would be one of those three options. And I never would have thought that it would be, I got robbed.
I got scammed, and now I'm going to scam you.
And now I want you to reimburse me for getting scammed. Something about that doesn't sit right.
It doesn't seem like the typical recourse that would happen once you've been scammed out of something you paid for.
You probably
wouldn't ask, unless it left you destitute, you know, and now you don't have a place to live, and you're like, what am I going to do? But it seemed like it was disposable income because it was a game. He made $5,000 for a game.
For a game.
And that's disposable income, you know?
That's crazy, number one. Like, and if that breaks you to the point where you're like, oh, my God, now I don't have any... Like, you're an idiot. If you spent $5,000 on a game and now you have no money left,
yeah,
that's a bad investment for your cash.
It really is a bad investment for your cash. I didn't know that story. I know you sent me the link. I kind of opened it for a second, but I didn't get to actually reading. You would think that if he wanted someone's money, I feel like illness is really the way to go. You really
illness,
don't want to say, I purchased a toy and it didn't go through. You want to go, I have cancer and all three of my kids have cancer.
Right.
So we need your money. So give it to us because now we have cancer.
Better way to scam.
Yes.
Than just saying you got taken because of a video game.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You go for the heartstrings. I just got diagnosed. That's also, cancer is one of those things too where you can be like, I'm cured now. You know, I had cancer, and it got me through, and now I'm cured. Thank you.
We had another person kind of in that similar circle that had someone in their life and their immediate family who had cancer, and medical bills were piling up, and they also took to GoFundMe. So,
and it does do a lot of good.
Sure.
But people know that, and it's also easy to exploit, and then they go ahead and exploit people. Now, I don't know for a fact that that's what's going on in this case, but it just is not adding up. Something's not adding up here. There's just other courses of action you could take. Like, if I mean, I think if you would have any pride, you'd be like, I'm going after the person who's scammed. I'm not just going to give up and then expect my friends and family to reimburse me for this loss.
Like expectation. It's obviously he's asking, but it just seems like not a typical reaction to you getting scammed by somebody else is to ask other people for money. That's just not what you do.
I've never heard of that before.
If you want to right the wrong, you go after the person that did you wrong. You don't ask other people for help.
Yeah. Something's off here. So I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I want to, you know, and then they say if you don't want to donate, then you can share it, spread it around. Just give it to your friends and family. Maybe they'll give me money. That type of thing. I don't know. I mean, you're on the radio. I've gotten this a few times where people ask, you know, retweet this, please share this. And I just have a strong no to those, period. And I know I feel bad doing that, kind of. But also, when you do one, then you got to do them all.
It's like giving a homeless guy change.
Yeah.
They either come back or their friends come back if you do it in front
feeding
of
feeding a cat,
homeless,
stray cat.
Right. They're always going to come back for more. Can you share this? And I don't want my page, not that I'm that popular because I'm not, but to be just like a running list of advertisements for other people.
Yeah. And
because
there's
good causes. Like, unless I really know the person and they're a good friend of mine or they've done something for me, then yes, sure, of course. Like, if you were doing something, you're like, hey, can you share? Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, just people that call in, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Scram.
Yeah, and it's tough because you can't blame them for trying. You know, no. They want as much reach as they can, and that makes sense. You know, I had one guy just wanted to meet Rob Gronkowski, and he was sending me tweets like 3 or 4 a day. Hey, please retweet this so Rob Gronkowski sees it. And, you know, he's not going to see it from me. But no. I didn't answer that because once you do one, then you're stuck. You're on the hook. Well, you did it for this person. Why don't you do it for me?
Yeah, and here's the funny thing is actually the more you do that, the less people are going to want to view your content because they're like, oh, Will just does boring advertisements. I don't want to look at his tweets anymore. Unfollow. Or I don't want to follow him on Instagram. Unfollow.
Yeah, you know? I do tweets promoting this podcast, and I think that's enough.
Right.
But it's already boring advertising.
Right, exactly. So if you were to do that, every time I would click on your profile, it would just be something boring. I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to follow Will anymore. It actually hurts your brand.
Yeah, and I know the world is full of misery. I totally get that, and I feel compassion for those people, but it's like, I don't know. I'm a few bad weeks away from needing my own GoFundMe as it is now.
Right.
I mean, I can't even my financial situation isn't great and it's embarrassing and I don't know what to do about it necessarily.
You got a job offer or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did.
How
I did.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm flattered. I don't know what the hell to do.
Can I explain what happened?
Yeah, sure.
So I work on a show called the Bubba Love Sponge Show, as most of you know. And Bubba basically offered Will at least a part-time job if things aren't working out at the bone for him. We know that Will's hours have been cut.
Yeah.
And Bubba was asking me about this podcast that I do with Will. And he asked me, you know, is Will talented? I said, yeah. Is he looking for a job? I said, I don't know. But he kind of somewhat offered you a job on the air.
I'm very flattered about that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. It would just need to be something that would have to be not just a lateral move. That would be my thing.
Yes.
It'd have to be an upgrade of some kind. I mean, it's certainly frustrating, you know, I don't really want to get into it and vent on this thing but things are not great. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, with the GoFundMe, it's like I could start a GoFundMe. I'm already begging for tips on this thing, and I felt creepy about that for a long time. But that's just what people do now. By the way, there's a Venmo available on hmbradio.com/donate. If you're enjoying the program, you can donate there, and proceeds will be split 50-50 with Anna Hummel. GoFundMe is a scam. But the world's full of misery. There's nothing you can do about it. Uh-huh. And I just got a kick out of this obvious scam. And then I looked at the people who were donating. I'm like, you poor sap. I know you. You're getting hustled.
I mean, were they donating a lot of money?
So, yeah. I mean, like, what's a lot of money?
over $100?
No, nothing over 100.
Okay.
That I saw.
Okay.
But some half of that.
A 50?
Throwing a 50 at Hamilton?
Yeah, that's, I mean, good for them, I guess. That's money that's disposable to them, whether it's going to the arcade. Even if it is the arcade game, which is already a pathetic thing to spend your money and lose it on, if people are willing to donate to that, like, think about how much money you could make if you did have cancer. Why do you even consider an illness, dude?
Well, remember the people that and I think they cracked down on this a little bit, but it was just like, I want to go on vacation, and here's me and my boyfriend, and we want to go here. And people would donate
and give them money. Why can't you do that?
You might still be able to.
You're being honest. People know what they're donating. You're not lying and saying that it's, you know, you're building homes for children in Africa. You're saying, I want to go to Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Give me money. And if people are giving you money to do that, what's the problem?
Yeah, maybe it's not that. I just don't know how they verify. And maybe they don't.
It's probably a branding thing, because they want GoFundMe to be, you know, for people in need of help. And if it gets oversaturated with people who just want to go on vacation, then it's going to be hard to get money to the people that actually need it.
I want to look that up. I want to look it up if you can. How do you start a GoFundMe?
Like, what are the requirements?
What are the requirements?
Like, pressing times or...
Requirements to start a GoFundMe. Has to be 35 characters or less. Okay, that's good. That's easy. Create a GoFundMe account. You have to put in where you live, what you're fundraising for. Choosing a category is just a way to help other people find your fundraiser. Set your fundraising goal. Add a cover photo. Tell your story. Complete. And then your fund... So it's not... I guess you can do whatever you want, really. Yeah. It's just if people donate to it or not, that's the thing.
That's their prerogative. I think that's fine. Whatever. That works. Are you thinking about starting one now?
I can see
you're torn.
I mean...
Between shame and getting some extra cash.
Yeah, it's Christmas time. I'd like to buy a good gift for
Something
me.
Something else is coming up, though.
What?
Your birthday.
I know.
How do you feel about it? You're going to be 37 years old.
I just keep...
Which is middle-aged.
Yeah, I know.
I was reminded, you know, the average age of an American adult is about 78.89 years, something like that. So say 78 years. When you hit 39 around that time, that's about middle-aged. We're middle-aged.
If you're lucky. I mean, in 37 years from now, I'm going to be 74. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
That's gross.
That's gross.
That's literally, imagine if you pressed stop and then restarted your life from birth.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had a lot of life, so it's it's going to go by fast, but I mean, like, 37 years is some time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a long time, but I remember vividly being, you know, 12.
Yes.
So that's kind of wild that, you know.
20 years can just evaporate.
Just like that. And I feel the time going faster and faster and faster.
Because each year is less of your life, right? I mean, you remember, like, what a year meant when you were 8? That was an eighth of your life, like, till next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just like you blink. And, I mean, I remember, like, it was yesterday, but... Didn't feel very long ago that we were biking down the pier for New Year's.
Yeah, that was a year ago. Yeah, and that seems like no time at all.
Like, kind of like on a whim, decided you had a bad experience, I think, somewhere at a bar. And then we went down the pier, and it was just this beautiful night. It was super cool, super fun, kind of like last minute thing. I didn't get hammered or anything. And that was December 31st. We're about a month away from that.
In the heat of COVID, right? Was COVID around?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God. So we're going on 2 years of COVID.
In March, it will be 2 years since
Since
COVID. Since the 2 weeks to stop the spread turned into 2 years.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And it's never going to end either.
No, it's not.
It's just going to be around.
But how do you feel? Like, when birthdays come up, is it typically the same sentiment? Do you feel nostalgic? Do you feel reflective? Do you feel happy? Do you feel sad? Like, what are the typical emotions? And is this year different from any other? Obviously, it's a time for reflection. It is for everybody. Where you're like, what have I accomplished? Am I where I should be at this age? You know, all those things. But you kind of gave me a look like you were not you were not excited about your birthday this year.
It snuck up on me a little bit. I will say that I just keep going back to this, and I remember I think I've told this story before, but my father, I remember it was his birthday, and he's probably about my age, or maybe even a little younger than I am now. And I was excited for him because as a boy, you know, as a little person, you like, that's like a big monument. You liked being a year older. You wanted to, you always said you were a little older than what you actually, I'm a big boy. Yeah, that type of thing. And then like cool stuff would happen to you. You would, you know, maybe you get the day off school. I always had that, my birthday off because it was during Thanksgiving break. But I remember some kids like got to take the day off from school. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'll go to school on their birthday. And then you get to eat, you know, you have a party and your buds come over and you have pizza, cake and ice cream.
Yada.
And you get gifts and you're the center of attention. And it's just a good, good time.
For a kid, yeah.
For a kid. And I even, you know.
As a young adult.
Young adult. And I didn't even think to, like, plan anything for my birthday this year. And the past couple of years. And I don't know if COVID had anything to do with that.
We did something big for your 35th.
Yeah, but that's a few years ago now. We did a kickball game.
You made it seem like you never do anything. But that was also that's a big year, 35.
Yeah.
So you wanted to plan something.
But, you know, and I like seeing everybody. I like inviting people and, you know, go to a bar or whatever and you get together. But this year it didn't really occur to me to do anything. I think it's just because you're so busy.
And also your birthday is on Thanksgiving.
It's on Thanksgiving this year, yeah. The day of. It happens once every 7 years. But I remember my dad telling me, like, I was like, hey, man, yo, it's your birthday. Pretty cool. Happy birthday. What are you going to do? Go to Celebration Station? What's up? What are we doing? And he just solemnly kind of looked straight ahead and just went, there's going to become a day in your life where birthdays just don't matter anymore. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. But I get it now. I mean, it just doesn't. And now it's just, now I'm getting closer to 40. I think everyone, that's the one. I think as, you know, you dread 30, you dread 40. I think 40 is probably the last one that you dread, though. After 40, you go, oh, I'm 50 now, cool. And then 60, and then et cetera.
So?
I think so. Maybe that's not true.
My mother said, for her, obviously everybody's different, she said 30 was no problem. 40 was no problem. She said when she hit 50 something.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because 50 is like old.
Yeah.
Like everyone can agree that this is not a young person.
Well, you know,
like if someone dies at 52, you go, could happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If someone dies at 34, you go, young. 21, young.
Yeah.
Even 42, you go, young.
Young.
But then you go 52, you're like, it happens. Sometimes it happens. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that, I don't know. I just feel like, and maybe I'm just because I'm not there yet, but as I creep up to 40 years old, that one scares me a little bit. Like saying that I'm 40.
Yeah.
Just, it makes me cringe a little bit.
Yes.
And I really wasn't like that with 30, but I was like, whoa, I'm 30 now. This is like, I'm
an adult
now.
Yes.
That was a big marker where you're like, you're not a young adult anymore. Like you are full swing into your adulthood.
It is crazy how elongated, I don't know, extended, whatever the word is, like childhood is and early adolescence and even young adulthood. You even hear people in their like late 20s go, look at me adulting. Mm-hmm. It's like people only live to 29 in the environment in which we evolved. You know, they were grandparents at that age. People were adults when they were 14, you know, mothers and wives and what, you know, obviously not the best conditions. But to me, it is funny when you hear and see grown adults going, look at me adulting at 28. It's like, yeah, no S, of course you are an adult, but it's still the same. Like it's weird because this sounds like not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not profound at all, but to me it is. It's like, tomorrow's only a day away. I'm not going to feel that different tomorrow than I do today in terms of like who I am and what I am as a person. And so like your interests, even though they change gradually, tomorrow you're probably going to be pretty much the same. And then you're going to hit a day when the activities that you used to do no longer seem appropriate. You know what I mean? There's literally the first day where you go, can I pull this off? Can I still dress this way? Like, that occurred to me because I kind of dress, you know, sometimes like a teenage boy, sometimes like an absolute hot mess, whatever. But when I go out, sometimes I like to, you know, show off the legs a little bit, maybe wear a midriff top. And there was a time probably about 2 years ago where I go, is it time to retire that sort of... that attire, you know, I don't know. And so it's funny because, you know, I still like going to clubs sometimes, but now I feel awkward because I'll walk into a club and the oldest person there besides me is 24. And yeah. I go, okay, this doesn't make me feel good about myself. I don't want to be around people that are that much younger than me because it doesn't make me feel young. I don't know how you feel, but you know, I like to be around people who are maybe a tad bit older than me so that I can make them feel old. That's the goal.
I remember when I was a kid watching college football games and you would see the cheerleaders and I would go, wow, now that is a woman. And now I look at those girls and I go, you look like children.
You're a child.
You look like children still.
Yes, I know.
And also I had one of those moments where I go, oh, I don't know if this is, not that it was okay. It kind of organically came about because I got a, well, now I only work 8 to 10. I went from 9 to midnight was my show that I was on. And now it's 8 to 10. And it was Friday night, 10 p.m. I'm out of work. A friend says, come meet me at this bar. And I go, oh, boy, it's already 10 o'clock. It's late. I remember not that long ago not leaving the house until 11 o'clock. You would, you know, drink at home for a little while, and then you'd go out at 11, 11:30, stay out till 3, you know, come home, maybe drink a little more, just pass out, whatever. And then that was your night. So it was a weird sensation. Curious if it was too late to go out at 10 p.m. And I don't know when that happened.
I mean, it was Friday, you know.
I was a little tired. I mean, I worked during the day at my day job. And
I feel like, to give you some credit, had you done nothing all day and someone asked you to come out at 10, you probably would have had the energy. You would have been more willing to go. But I also understand that, like, there was a time where you could work all day, and at 10, you were like, let's hit the bar.
Yeah.
Because now you're like, I need to go home, take a shower, watch some TV, and go to bed.
Yeah, maybe have a drink at home and just one.
Never done that before.
And then go to bed, take a shower. Yeah, right, go to bed, and then, you know, get up at a decent hour on Saturday morning. I don't know when that became a priority in my life, but it seemed, I'm sure it happened gradually. But it seemed to happen overnight. And I mean, I could still get down. Don't get me wrong. I could stay out late. Last weekend, I stayed out super late, you know, both nights.
It's really funny, and I kind of want to get into this for a second about, do you feel like you have more of a pressure to be productive the older you get? Because when I was younger, much like you, I'd go out late. I'd get home at, you know, whatever, 3, 4 in the morning. Didn't matter. Who cares? Sleep in all day on Saturday. Maybe go out again, maybe not, whatever the case may be. But the nights, we prioritize the nights. But as we get older, we prioritize more daytime activities.
You yeah. know?
Is it that we were prioritizing sleep? Is it that we don't want to feel like we're degenerates and we want to feel productive? We want to experience the day? Because honestly, nothing is really better than waking up at like a decent hour, getting things done, feeling productive, going outside. It's beautiful outside now, getting some fresh air, doing all that stuff. You know, that seems to be a lot more alluring as I get older than, you know, hitting the bar at 11 p.m. and getting home at 4, you know?
Yeah, I think I just value daylight, too, and being out. The time change has ruined me. I feel like it's, and I know you get used to it eventually after a few weeks, but.
You get used to it, and then it turns back.
And then it turns back, right?
Forward.
Yeah, it's terrible, but I just want to experience the weekend fully. And even getting up at 9, the days go by so fast.
Yes.
That I feel like I don't really get my money's worth. If I'm sleeping till noon, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, like back in the old days.
Yeah, no.
You know, then you're right back to work. And maybe it's because I'm working 60 hours a week. Maybe that has something to do with it during the week that I feel like I need to enjoy it more. Maybe I wouldn't feel that way if I just had a normal person's 40-hour-a-week job.
I think you're also aware that the science behind why you need to be awake during the day and why that's important and, you know, it helps your sleep and all that sort of stuff. Seeing sunshine, vitamin D, that's all good for your health, things like that. I'm far more aware of stuff like, I don't even think I ever thought about that stuff before. I need to get sunlight for because of vitamin D. Even if I knew that, I never like factored it into my health because I'm like, I'm 21. I'm going to live forever. And now I'm like, okay, now I'm taking turmeric. You know, yeah. I used to do Molly. Now I'm taking calcium. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
So things change. And they that's do. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay. And I was talking to a friend about this recently, but do you ever feel like you miss certain times in your life, but you don't want them back?
Sure.
All the time. It's so hard to articulate because, like, for example, me in college, right? College was a glorious time. Filled with you're an adult infant, you know, you're relying financially on your parents completely, but you're completely an adult. You're 19, 20, 21, 22. And looking back at college, I go, wow, that was an amazing experience. I miss it sometimes when I think about it, when I'm nostalgic over it, but I do not want to relive it. That would be a nightmare. That would be a nightmare. But I still miss wanting to live that life, but I don't want to live that life anymore.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be cool to redo it, knowing what you know now. Like, you could maybe get a little...
But as a 34-year-old, living in dorms and drinking heavily three nights a week is not appealing.
Yeah. I had that bachelor party experience where we pretty much drank for 3 days straight, and I was like, oh,
it took you about a week
man.
To get back to
Yeah, it did. It really did. But, you know, back in school, you could go out every night and... It's just, I guess it's just a natural progression of life. But I think culturally it's probably different for, you know, what an adult is, depending on what culture you're in. I mean, what your life expectancy is. If you're living more of a primitive lifestyle, I'm sure that their, you know, lifespan isn't as long without modern. We live way too long, frankly. We're living way too long. I probably should live till we're like 50, maybe tops. And then things really start to fall off the wagon. Well, without the interference of modern medicine, how long would we be living?
Well, I mean, a lot of people died during childhood. You know, you get a toothache, you break a bone, you get an infection. That's what was killing people, and what kills people mostly in the third world. In the first world, it's things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, things that involve age. And not that, you know, you can get cancer, but it's unlikely compared to, you know, people who are older. That's what kills people now. So it's lifestyle and old age diseases versus like infections, parasites, things that used to kill us all the time back then.
Yeah. But I mean, if there was no doctors, I mean, what would you think that the life expectancy average? Would be? Yeah.
No doctors, average life expectancy, no modern medicine. I would say in the environment we evolved, I would say probably you're probably done around 30.
Yeah.
You're 30 was probably an old man, old woman, I'd say.
A full life at 30.
Mm-hmm, you're done. Oh, you were probably lucky if you made it to 30. If you weren't eaten by a tiger, you didn't get an infection. Think about it. You get a toothache, you go to the doctor, you get antibiotics. I mean, you just died.
Yeah, you break your leg.
I was listening to some stupid thing because I got blisters on my foot. I was learning about, you know, whatever, how to prevent it and cure whatever. And Coolidge, the president's son, was playing tennis, got blisters. They got infected. He didn't do anything about it. He died a week later from a foot blister. So, I mean, like, that's...
Wash your foot, man. Run it under some warm water. Soap and something. Water.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the sort of things that were killing people back then.
Well, that's a plague, too. Same thing. They were just dirty. They just didn't bathe.
The bubonic plague?
Yeah.
I mean, that was I think that was a bacteria that just wiped...
Wasn't it fleas or something?
It was carried on the back of fleas, and the fleas got on the rats, and the rats went from Asia to Europe, and we didn't have any immunity, and it killed a third of the population.
Yeah. A third. I think if you, you know, washed your hands before you ate, that was a good deterrent from the plague, is my understanding.
They were also handling the dead, and I think that you could get it from dead people, so, yeah, no good.
Yeah. I don't know. Birthday... I'm excited.
You seem so melancholy.
I am melancholy. I'm so just tired of everything.
You got a lot on your plate. I know, you know, we didn't get into it, all of it, but you got a lot on your plate. You got a lot to think about. It's hard to just try to put that aside and celebrate yourself, but you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
And it's going to be fun. I'm going out of town, leaving town.
You not having a good time isn't going to make anything else better.
Yeah.
You know, if you being sad made other things better, then be sad, but that's not how it works. So you might as well enjoy yourself.
I plan to. I'm gonna, you know, it's just I'm doing my best not to dread the things that haven't happened quite yet, you know. And I'll worry about those things, even though I'm worried about them now. I'll worry about them
As they come. You have to.
One at a time. One thing at a time.
Yeah.
So, but I think that, you know, you got to set goals. We're coming up on the new year. You know, things have got to, something's got to happen, you know, this year. But I feel like I've said that every year in the past few years.
Okay.
So, I don't really know what that means, but something's going to get figured out one way or another. Oftentimes, I've found that when things seem bleak, that's when something happens. So, I don't want to count on that, but I'm also not discounting it either, going by the pattern of my life thus far. Yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of things. When I moved down to St. Pete, my best friend and roommate kicked me out of our house because his girlfriend wanted to make a nest in that house. And I had to find a place, and everything was too expensive even back then when I was making, you know, $10 an hour at my job. I go, well, I guess I'll sleep in my car for a while. And then I kind of just accepted that. I didn't know.
Oh, but did you, or you were just said you were okay?
I said I was going to, and a few days later, an apartment became available from one that I went and toured. The lady rented it out on me, and she goes, "Oh crap!" And then she found me another place and like charged me a very low rent. My first place in St. Pete. I mean, now it's out of control. Rent is everywhere is kind of out of control, but you know, in the city of St. Petersburg, just like everywhere else.
That today, just the come up of St. Pete.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. But I had my first place in the Old Northeast that I lived alone. I was paying $475 a month, and it was technically a 2-bedroom, and I had roommates for periods of time, so it was only $275 a month that I was paying in rent.
Wild,
crazy. Mm-hmm. Can't believe that happened, and somehow managed to, you know, like keep myself alive, like eat food and have the heat and air conditioning, even though it was monitored and I would not turn it on as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, that's what happened. And, you know, it was bleak then. It's bleak now. But who knows what will happen in the near future.
Start a GoFundMe.
I might start a GoFundMe. Maybe. But in the meantime, if you're enjoying the program, hmbradio.com/donate. Just throw it out there. You don't have to. Just saying it's there and available to you. And it is my birthday this week. That's all I can really say. Anna, I know you got to get out of here. You can catch her 6 to 10, Bubba the Love Sponge on Twitch. I'm on the Johnny B Show on The Bone, 102.5 The Bone, and theboneonline.com, 8 to 10 p.m. Although I think this week will probably be on Best Ofs. And I guess this comes out Thanksgiving week, right?
It does, yeah.
So happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And I don't know if we'll have a show next week or not.
Okay.
Still kind of trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we are.
Maybe we can piece together something. But if not, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Yes, happy tea day. Enjoy it. Enjoy your family, your friends, or eating a can of anchovies alone in a dark room. Whatever you do. Enjoy it. And that's it. That's the show. Subscribe to the podcast, HMB Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank vs. Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. Maybe we'll be back next week. Hopefully. We'll see. I don't know. Follow the Twitter and keep up with it. @home_made_man. I'll let you know. Will Koontz, Anna Hummel, HMB Radio, and Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.